Hey, dude, guess what tonight?
What?
Pool party, my house, 8 o'clock.
Welcome to Pool Party Radio. This is the number one Little Lion Cub podcast in all of San Diego. I'm your host, Parker. Jason Frisbee is gone. He's the Razor Man's. He's the co-host. He's not here. Nobody knows where he is, except he actually is in Oklahoma. So instead, I'm joined by Shelby, Razor Man Cobras. He's from the Illogical Contraption Show. He's here. How are you doing, Shelby?
I'm doing excellent, Mr. Bowman.
Good. I'm glad to hear it.
Oh, God, I was hoping I would get the polite applause drop. You really came through.
I'm glad you enjoyed that one.
Do you have the We Are the Champions drop lined up for yourself?
I do not have that one lined up.
Oh, bummer.
I'm really bad at lining up drops, so I can really only do the one at a time.
Yeah. Well, that was a great victory on your part, just having that one ready. You really came through for me, and I thank you.
Hey, all right. Oh, now they're clapping for me for having it lined up.
Oh, yeah, I just wanted to mention, I listened to your show where you guys apologized for stealing my material, and I just want to say it's okay. I was a little mad for a while. I definitely had a furrowed brow and a red face when I FaceTimed you, but it's all in the past. You guys did a really good show. You were very respectful about the subject, and all's forgiven.
I'm glad to hear it. We'll never take any of your intellectual property ever again.
Yeah, I would hope not. Although I did like that, like how you guys used our theme song, which we've actually opened our show with the kissing contest theme before, so it was almost like a ripoff Inception. Like you were apologizing, like ironically apologizing by ripping us off of an idea that we had already done. If that makes sense.
yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it was a really good job. You guys did great.
Thanks. We should have put like those gunshot noises over it, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. I only wish that Frizzman was here to share in the forgiveness.
Yeah, Frizzman, R.I.P. Frizzman. He's been gone for 2 weeks.
Yeah, where is he?
Well, he went to Oklahoma again.
Uh huh.
Which means that he's going to come back so angry.
Uh huh.
And it's going to be so funny.
Why does he go to Oklahoma?
Well, he has a friend there, of the show Phil, who was on like episode 3 or something.
Hi, Phil.
Hey, Phil. I don't know if he listens, but he goes and visits him because it's not too far away and Phil's a sweet dude. But Phil is also friends with like a real butthole, it seems.
Right. The guy that's a bummer at parties.
Yeah. The real bummer at parties guy.
Cool. Well, I hope Frizzman hangs out with him and gets all worked up because it's really a joy to listen to on the show when he's upset about things.
I agree. It's
not often. Not a man who gets upset easily.
That's true. He's a real chill, laid-back kind of guy, so it really tickles me when he gets mad.
It is. It's fun to listen to.
It is good stuff. So yeah. He was doing that. I don't know how long that lasted. And then he's also I don't know if it's sketch comedy exactly, but he's like making a short film.
Oh, yeah. I heard about that.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool.
Right.
He's got a lot of adventures. He's out there on this nice summer solstice day enjoying his pagan gods and creating.
Aw, good for him. Polite applause for Jason Frisbee, Frizzman.
There you go.
No, I didn't mean to put you on the spot.
Put me on the spot.
All right.
So how about you? Have you ever prayed to pagan gods? And do you know any... You live in the Bay Area, so I'm sure you know a lot of people who are like really excited about the summer solstice. What do you think about all that kind of stuff?
I think it's stupid, and everyone needs to shut up about it. It's like when dumb hippie chicks talk about like Mercury being in retrograde. It's like, it just makes my dick soft and I hate hearing about it. So shut up about all that stuff.
That's understandable. I also hate that
stuff. The heavens do not care about you.
Yeah. Nor does.
Sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off again. Go ahead.
It's quite all right. Please do. I don't like that stuff. I think it's real annoying. And it's like, so what? The day is like kind of long. Who gives a crap?
Yeah. Yeah. Who cares?
Back in my day, we liked the nighttime. We were excited when the nighttime was long.
You know, I like going out and working on my night moves.
I hear that. That's what I'm into as well.
You know, have you ever noticed, ain't it funny how the night moves?
Yes.
It really is.
A little bit funny.
Yeah. Well, I am spending my summer solstice in my living room talking to you on Skype, and I have just poured myself my second mug of iced coffee mixed with Carlo Rossi sangria.
Nice.
I like to call it a slam gria.
Mm-hmm.
And they're treating me pretty well. That's like a low budget. It's like an even poorer man's Four Loko.
When you're drinking the slam, do you like to let the boys be boys?
I do like to let the boys be boys.
I'm glad that you do. I was thinking about also having an alcoholic beverage today. I was thinking about introducing a new segment on the show. And since we're not doing it right now, maybe it's in poor form to mention it. Because I listen to a lot of podcasts, and I've been trying to get into more horror podcasts lately, and it seems like something like 65% of all the horror movie podcasts I listen to also have a segment where they review different kinds of beer.
Huh.
So I was thinking about stealing that, because I hate all kinds of beer.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. Are you just like a simple domestic Pilsner man?
Yeah, I'm a Budweiser man myself.
Yeah, I get that feeling from you. I rarely deviate outside of Budweiser or Miller High Life. I don't like flavorful, artisanal fucking craft beers. That shit sucks.
Yeah, I hate all that stuff. I think it tastes like wood, and I don't understand why anybody would like it.
Yeah, yeah.
I got tricked go ahead.
No. Go, please.
I got tricked into drinking a Guinness once, and it was like somebody put like just like a bunch of dirt in some water and handed it to me.
Guinness is fucking gross. And it's like, if I want some apricot flavor, I'll eat a fucking apricot. I want my beer to taste like beer. I'm a man's man is what I'm trying to say. We're both men's men.
That's true.
Yeah. We're a couple of bearded fucking muscly dudes.
That's true. We got big muscles, and we didn't get it from drinking no apricot beer.
No, sir. Big muscles come from Budweiser and Budweiser only.
Mm-hmm.
Happy 4th of July in advance.
Go eat a hot dog, everybody. God damn it.
Yeah.
So I was thinking about getting some shitty beers, or, you know, a.k.a. good beers that the kids like, going to BevMo. You live in California. You know about BevMo.
Tons of BevMos out here.
BevMo is the fucking greatest shit in the world. So I was thinking about trying this out, and then the punchline, you see, the joke of the segment would be that every beer I tasted would suck.
That would be a good segment.
I'm glad you're behind this with me.
I would love to do that segment with you because we would, yeah, there would be no argument. We would agree on everything. We'd be in total agreement. There would be no conflict, and that makes for a great segment.
That's true. That's the essence of good podcasting is when everybody agrees on everything.
Totally. You know what's funny? Eric from the Illogical Contraption radio show, he likes his alcohol, and he lives right by a BevMo. And he gets so excited every time he goes to BevMo. It's like taking a little kid to Toys R Us. Did your parents ever take you to Toys R Us when you were a little kid? Did you have those out in Ohio?
Yeah, we had some. My grandma would take me.
Yeah, it was like Christmas. We didn't have them where I grew up, but they were in the Bay Area, and I had family in the Bay Area, so we'd come to visit. And like maybe twice a year, my parents would take me to Toys R Us, and I would get so excited. Like it was Christmas morning every time we went. And that's how Eric gets every time he goes to BevMo. He comes out with like four bags of assorted liquors, and he's just like, I've never seen that guy so happy.
It's reasonable. They just opened one here, I don't know, about 2 years ago. Or maybe I just like just discovered it 2 years ago, possibly, because I don't leave the house. But yeah, that's how me and the wife get. We just go there, and we don't even like really drink too often. But anytime we go, we spend like $200, and then we have, you know, 10 years worth of liquor, and we're like so excited about it.
I was in a BevMo last Saturday. Yeah. I was in a BevMo last Saturday, and you know what I bought there?
What was that?
A birthday card.
Nice.
And didn't even give it to the person. So.
Oh, that's nice.
Successful trip to BevMo.
I didn't even know that they sold birthday cards.
Oh, yeah. They sell everything festive at BevMo.
That sounds reasonable. I mean, if you're going to buy booze, chances are you're partying, and chances are it's somebody's birthday.
Yeah, sure. Makes sense.
Yeah. Also, they sell a lot of those like crazy, weirdo soft drink sodas that my man Sean Byron is so into.
Oh, yeah. Like weird Izzy's. And I saw they had a corn-flavored soda when I was in there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah, that probably...
It's kind of like putting apricot in beer.
That's true. It's probably really bad, but... I might get a bunch of those. Last year, me and Sean Byron went to a horror movie festival. Corey was there.
Yeah.
And they had a monster called the Corngorn, who was like their mascot. So maybe we'll get some of those corn sodas and enjoy some Halloween time.
Yeah, hang out with the Corn Gorn.
Mm-hmm.
Sweet.
I think that could be fun.
Hey, I know we already glossed over it, but going back to, maybe we should bring this up. Going back to Eric from Ilkon Radio.
Mm-hmm.
I believe there's a really exciting announcement involving Eric. I don't know if we should talk about that now.
I think we should definitely talk about it because it is the summer solstice, which means ghoul summer is upon us.
Right around the corner.
Mm-hmm. This is
everyone's favorite time of year.
That's true. Today is the longest day of the year, especially if you're watching ghoul movies.
You know what? Sitting here doing this podcast with you, Parker, it definitely seems like the longest day of the year. I'm bored. That's what I mean. It's taking forever. Thank you. Thank you.
Sick burn.
Yeah, it's a good joke. Intelligent joke.
It's a really important joke.
Yeah, it's an important joke.
Well, all right. I'm just going to, now that my feelings are hurt, you can go ahead and announce this if you want to, the thing that we're doing. You're doing more so than me.
Okay. Well, in observation of Ghoul Summer, the Ilkon crew, namely myself and Eric, would be participating by getting together and recording a live commentary of Beelzebub's film, Ant Farm Dickhole, on acid. So we're going to get together at his apartment, drop some acid, and record a commentary for Ghoul Summer, and we'll post that, I don't know, JFD, Pool Party, Ilkon, put it up as a bonus episode. But that's for you guys. That's a gesture of our undying loyalty to both your podcasts.
That's very nice.
It's not going to be an easy task. Like, I expect it to be horrifying and disturbing beyond human imagination, but we're ready to do it for you guys because we love you.
It definitely seems like a sacrifice.
Yeah. I'm not only sacrificing an evening of my life, but probably a good portion of my sanity in doing so as well.
That's true. I have not seen this movie, Ant Farm Dickhole. It has an intriguing title.
Mm-hmm.
I had it on my computer for a long time because I wanted to do it on the Junk Food Show, but Mark Fredo said that he would quit if we ever picked a Beelzebub movie.
I don't blame him.
I believed him, so yeah. We never did.
Yeah. Well, and then he quit anyways.
Yeah.
How ironic.
That is weird.
Wow.
He really squelched on the deal.
What a dick, right?
No, he's a nice guy.
I don't know. I kind of hope he gets an ant infestation in his dick hole.
What a horrible thing to have to go to the doctor for.
Right?
You'd go in, you'd have all these ants crawling all over inside your dick hole, coming out of your dick hole, and you would try to show it to the doctor, and he would just be like, oh, holy smokes.
Son, you've got an ant farm dick hole.
And then the Curb Your Enthusiasm music would play.
I like it.
Yeah, so I'm excited for you. I think that this is not going to be good for you.
No, it's not. It's definitely not.
Do you think that the LSD will make the movie more bearable or more unbearable?
I think it'll definitely make it more horrifying and less bearable.
That's probably true.
Yeah. But hey, whatever. You know, you got to go out there and do things in life. You know, have new experiences.
You got to live your life.
Mm-hmm.
I respect that.
Yeah. Doing it all for you guys.
We're trying to figure out something to do here on Pool Party because the junk food dinners, you know, we're doing the big ghoul summer thing. We're watching a lot of movies, a lot of torture movies, a lot of 2.5 hour long torture movies somehow.
Ugh.
And it's really going to hurt our feelings. We're trying to figure out something to do on Pool Party because, you know, I don't want to just watch more movies because I feel like I would kill myself.
Mm-hmm.
But we're trying to figure something out, and so we've put it to the listeners to give us some suggestions, and we got an email giving us some ghoul suggestions. So I'm going to read this email, and maybe we can put something together here.
Go for it.
This fellow, his name is James. He says, "Dear Pool Party, I am very excited for Ghoul Summer. I have some ideas for Ghoul Summer tie-ins. You could possibly talk about some ghoulish books, video games, or other lifestyle decisions to pursue your ghoul summer." That sounds like a good idea. Have you read any ghoulish books, Shelby Cobras?
Yeah, quite a few. I would say, I mean, the obvious choice would be American Psycho. That's a pretty fucking ghoulish book.
The number one ghoulish book.
That's probably the most ghoulish book I can think of. I love that book. I've read it at least twice, maybe more.
Mm-hmm.
But that would be great.
Yeah.
Other ghoulish books. I don't know. You could get all foofy about it and read some Desaad or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He gets into some ghoul stuff.
Yeah. I don't know. I do. I read a lot of like crime fiction. That can be pretty ghoulish, but I don't know. I can't think of any like one specific book that would be good to do.
Yeah, I read that. I forget the name of it. Casey Affleck made a movie about it a while back.
Who's Casey Affleck?
He's Ben Affleck's little brother.
I know. I'm just kidding. I don't know. I don't know anything about the guy though. If he's directed movies.
Oh, he made a movie. Huh. I forget. Oh well, that's kind of a ghoulish book anyway. A lot of torturing women's nipples and stuff in that.
Sounds like a good time.
It's a good time. I don't know. Then he goes on to say, for example, for Ghoul Summer, I plan on shunning the noon sun by eating down in the Pedway. I don't know what a Pedway is.
Not sure what that means.
Which is this? And then he goes on to explain it. Good for you. Which is a series of tunnels they built to connect some of the buildings downtown. That seems like a ghoulish way to eat a burrito. I agree.
I agree as well.
My town also has underground tunnels. I hear that they were built for opium trading back in the olden days, which I respect.
That's pretty cool.
I would like to eat a burrito down there.
Fuck yeah.
I think the most ghoulish way to eat a burrito is probably like holding it with two hands and then like just kind of eating it from the middle. I think that would look cool.
Yeah, that's fucking dark. I don't know why you would do something like that.
That's only for like the real top-notch ghouls. If you've seen all the Beelzebub movies, it's okay to hold a burrito with two hands and eat it from the middle.
Yeah, I can't even fucking process that right now.
Yeah, that was originally in American Psycho, but they cut it for being too violent and scary.
They can only get that triple X rating. There's nothing beyond it.
He goes on to say, also, since I'm sharing my favorite Ghoul Summer, writing is Dreams in the Witch House by H.P. Lovecraft. Because I had a summer that was pretty similar. That's scary if you've had a summer pretty similar to an H.P. Lovecraft story.
Mm-hmm.
I lived in my friend's apartment one summer while he was away. That's a sweet gig. I had no furniture, so I slept in a sleeping bag on top of a beanbag chair, and my fridge had nothing but a jug of homemade wine, and I had prophetic dreams. That sounds pretty all right, pretty Lovecrafty. How do you feel about H.P. Lovecraft, Shelby Cobras?
I'm actually a huge H.P. Lovecraft fan. I definitely went through a phase when I was younger. I read all of his books. I love H.P. Lovecraft, even though he was a racist piece of shit. I guess it was a different time. I don't know. I'll be an H.P. Lovecraft racist apologist.
It's a different time.
But I love H.P. Lovecraft. And I should say, I don't know. I feel like I need to correct James here in his email. If he said he had a summer that was like an H.P. Lovecraft story, like he should end the story should just be like, I had this summer that was like an H.P. Lovecraft story, and it was so horrific I can't even describe it. Because that's like how H.P. Lovecraft ends all his stories.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, I don't know. That's what he should have said in his email, but I don't know. I guess the details are okay.
Yeah, I always found that weird. Like, people always, like, try to tell me, like, that H.P. Lovecraft is a good writer. And, yeah, whenever I tried to read his stuff, which I haven't in a long time, like, I tried in high school, it was always, like, a lot of that, like, the man opened the door, and it was so terrifying that he was scared beyond belief. And it's just like, well, I don't know. You're just telling me he's scared.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, and there's no human way to possibly describe the horror that he beheld. And it's like, dude, you just wrote like one paragraph that was 10 pages long, and now you're like running out of descriptive fucking nouns. Like, you know, I don't know, whatever. Lovecraft's great.
Have you seen The Unnameable, the movie?
Mm-mm.
It scares me so bad. It's based on H.P. Lovecraft.
Really?
Yeah, it's like super scary to me.
I don't think I've even heard of it.
It's pretty good.
I'm sure I've heard the name, but I don't know anything about the movie.
You probably haven't heard the name because it's unnameable.
Oh!
Get it?
I do. Polite applause.
Clap, clap, clap.
Clap, 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 clap.
Also, James says, can you recommend music for Ghoul Summer? Maybe some really sweet ghoul movie soundtrack or something. Cheers, James. P.S. If I say the word ghoul around my wife one more time, she said she will stab me, which is kind of ghoulish. That is ghoulish.
That's ghoulish, too. So you should keep saying it.
Yeah, say it a lot of times.
Yeah, I'm taking acid and watching a Beelzebub movie. The least you can do is get stabbed.
That's true.
For Ghoul Summer. That sacrifice.
Everybody's got to make sacrifices and compromises for Ghoul Summer.
Yeah. I would say there's lots of like crazy, gory death metal shit that you could listen to for Ghoul Summer, but that seems too easy. I'd say maybe like the Cannibal Holocaust soundtrack by Riz Ortolani would be a good, would be a ghoul, good ghoul summer soundtrack. Cause it's kind of like groovy and 70s, but like really creepy in the same, at the same time because of the context, you know?
Yeah. That's a, Deodato movie, right?
Yeah, I believe so. I don't remember who directed it actually, but that, sure, we'll go with that.
I think it was Deodato. And, that's interesting you bring that up, because I was actually going to say that the soundtrack from House on the Edge of the Park is super ghoulish, which is another movie.
In the same kind of way?
Yeah, yeah, it's like real funky and like disco-y, but it's like, you know, it's like this movie about David Hess like cutting like girls' boobs and raping them, but it's like got this like real upbeat, funky disco soundtrack.
Maybe it's just word association, but doesn't... Last House on the Left, doesn't that have like a super like folky upbeat, like acoustic guitar soundtrack to it? Maybe I'm just making shit up. I don't know.
No, that's true. It does. David Hess wrote a lot of that soundtrack, or maybe all of it. And yeah, it's like real like whimsical and folky, which is a big juxtaposition on top of these horrible crimes that are going on.
I think that's the best soundtrack to Ghoul Summer is like really upbeat, happy music that just, yeah, in context, it makes it even fucking more ghoulish, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Valar Morghulish. I don't know if you... Game of Thrones joke.
I don't know. I thought that you were just saying gobbledygook from Lord of the Rings.
No, it's Game of Thrones thing, but that's fucking fell flat. Sorry.
I don't watch that show. I don't know. I'm the one guy. Yeah. If you're doing this podcast...
I don't watch the show either, Parker. I read the books.
Oh, all right.
Tra-la-la.
Well, I didn't know that we had a Nobel Prize winner over here.
Well, now you know.
Well, all right.
Just American Psycho and the Game of Thrones books. That's all I've ever read.
Well, that's understandable.
Yeah. So, hey, speaking of ghoulish movies, I've been on vacation for the last couple days. I just got back.
Nice.
I was actually sort of out in your neighborhood, kind of.
Sort of,
you,
yeah.
Sort of. Do you know where Copperopolis is?
No.
It's like maybe like 45 minutes outside Stockton, like towards you. And that's where I was on a lake out there. We got so drunk that we couldn't pronounce Copperopolis anymore, so we just started calling it Metalocalypse.
Yeah, that's all right.
But yeah, I was on a lake out by Copperopolis, Metalocalypse, and I bought a movie at the market there, a Disney movie called Space Buddies, which is one of the Air Bud sequels.
Yes.
Where a bunch of golden retriever puppies go to space.
Mm-hmm.
And that movie was surprisingly fucking ghoulish. I think maybe you guys should do that for Ghoul Summer.
Buddies. How much did you buy this movie for?
Actually, okay, I'm going to be honest with you. Don't make fun of me.
Okay.
I went in there with a couple friends, and we were looking at their movie selection. And since it was a small town, like, they didn't have much. It was, like, in their grocery store. Mm-hmm. They had a bunch of movies for, like, $6 or $7. And we bought Empire Strikes Back and Tron and some, like, old classics. But then they had a different section that was all Disney movies, and they were all $12 used. And so we bought some movies. We didn't buy Space Buddies. And we went back and watched some movies and, like, partied. And the next morning, I got up early, and I felt so bad about it that I had to drive back into town by myself and buy Space Buddies, because I was like so ashamed for not buying Space Buddies for $12 the first time around. I had to get up the next morning hungover and go back and buy it so that we could watch it.
And then you guys all watched it.
Yeah.
I find that part of the story funny too, that you actually watched it.
Yeah, we did. What's funny about that movie, you remember that show Coach with Craig T. Nelson?
I do.
You remember the fucking, his like assistant coach guy with the sort of like long blonde hair but bald on top, who played it just like a big dummy kind of guy?
Yeah, Hulk Hogan with Down syndrome.
Yeah, that guy. He's like the main star in Space Buddies. That's like the best star they could get for this movie was the guy from Coach. Man, the retarded Hulk Hogan from Coach.
That's rough.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Yeah, I have often wanted to see those movies because there's like 15 of them.
Yeah.
Ranging from Air Bud to Air, you know, like all the Air Buds and then the spinoffs of the, you know, Space Buddies and Spooky Buddies and Super Buddies. And I threatened for a long time to do those on Junk Food Dinner, but I think those guys, after the Oogie Loves experiment, I think those guys would be like so mad at me if I did any of those.
Those guys need to get their fucking priorities straight.
I know. Oogie Loves is so great.
Yeah, I've got your back on this all the way, Parker.
Man, I appreciate
it.
If
you need me to start a petition to get more fucking buddies movies onto Junk Food Dinner, I'll crowdsource some shit. I'll start a Kickstarter or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that'd be good. Yeah, if people can write some emails, JFD at jfdpodcast@gmail.com, convince those guys that we need to do all the buddies movies. Just devote a whole month of doing Air Bud, Spooky Buddies, Space Buddies.
Yeah, all the classics. Yeah. The best part about Space Buddies was on the DVD extras, they had a section called Buddy Bloopers. It was like the puppies like falling over in their fucking astronaut suits and stuff.
That is
like
cute.
That was worth a fucking $12 admission right there.
Man, that's great. That sounds really cute.
Yeah, and ghoulish.
Yeah, also ghoulish. Because if you're getting enjoyment out of puppies falling over, you're a real soulless
real
piece of
sick
shit.
Bat. Yeah.
You piece of crap.
Fuck yeah.
We have another email. This is also pretty ghoulish, though. It is entitled Feldman Question. PPR, do you think Michael Jackson ever put his finger in Corey Feldman's butt? That's from Matthew. I do. Now, what about you, Shelby Cobras? Do you think I'll extrapolate a little bit on my answer, but I want to know what you have to say.
Sure. I could see that being a possibility. Thank you.
I definitely think this happened. I actually just bought Corey Feldman's autobiography. It arrived just yesterday.
So, oh, yeah?
Yeah, so maybe I'll get some answers soon.
Yeah, well, didn't he say that Michael Jackson put his finger in his butt or something?
Well, he said that him and Haim, Corey Haim.
Him and Haim.
Were viciously, like, molested by a lot of high-up people in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't name names. But considering the fact that Michael Jackson was a grown-ass man partying with a bunch of children that also say that he molested them, and Corey Feldman turned into Michael Jackson for a while as a way of, like, sort of dealing with the pain of being raped, I'm sure. I'm fairly certain that Michael Jackson was touching those children.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a pretty ghoulish thing to think about. I like it.
I think about it a lot.
Yeah. I'm going to start thinking about it a lot.
You should.
Thank you.
Like the way that, like, some 60-year-old dudes think about, like, the JFK assassination, that's the way I think about whether or not Michael Jackson touched Corey Feldman. I've got, I've got slides. I've got, like, the big, you know, like, that show Homeland, how, like, they have walls full of, like, paper and maps and, like...
like, little strings connecting fucking photographs on the wall all over the room and shit.
Yeah, yeah, like mug shots and stuff.
Yeah.
I have that.
Corey Feldman was at Neverland Ranch on July 13th, 1986. Yeah, totally. Connect the dots.
Yeah, except...
Those dots lead right back to Corey Feldman's butthole.
Yeah, my wall isn't, like, that complex, though. It's, like, just one big printout of Michael Jackson's hand and then a string attaching it to Corey Feldman's butt.
Where'd you get a picture of Corey Feldman's butthole?
It's on the internet, you know.
Oh, okay, cool.
It's from Lost Boys 3, The Tribe.
Oh, yeah, I saw that, actually.
Yeah, there's, like, that whole scene where it's, like, just his butthole for a while.
Yeah, I actually really enjoyed that movie.
Did you really?
Mm-hmm.
I liked it too. I liked the third one. The second one kind of sucks, but I thought the third one was good.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely like a bad movie, but I definitely enjoyed watching it.
Yeah. It's like,
I watched it by myself without anyone around, you know, so like, I guess that means that I legitimately enjoyed it. Like, there was nobody around to clown it with me, and I still watched it and thought it was good. Mm-hmm. I did have my pants off when I was watching it by myself.
That's reasonable.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. It's A plus for Lost Boys 3.
Yep.
From Shelby Cobras.
Yep.
Speaking of A pluses, we got some lightning round stuff to get into.
You're now tuned into the Pod Awful Channel. Pod Awful.
Bi-quarterly women's social club.
Dazed and Convicted.
Pool Party Radio.
The Devil's Advocate.
The Projection Booth.
Awful Flicks. PodAwful.net.
The lightning round, of course, is where we talk about the news and crap. The first thing we have, I don't know if you've heard about this. I work in the news, and it's been big news in the news. But there's a guy who had, like, they found his mugshot on the internet, this guy in Stockton.
Yeah,
he's a prisoner in Stockton, and he's very attractive. And all the ladies on Twitter and Facebook have fallen in love with him.
Yeah.
Have you seen this guy? You know, what do you think about this guy?
I don't know. He's a handsome guy, I guess. I don't know. I don't really know. I don't really have strong feelings one way or another. I only saw the picture and like a headline. Like, what did he get arrested for? You know,
I do know he illegally possessed firearms, ammo, carrying a loaded firearm in public, and criminal street gang activity, and street terrorism.
Oh, fuck yeah. So he's like a man's man. He's like one of us. He probably only drinks Budweiser.
Yeah.
He's drinking. Yeah, so fuck yeah. This guy rules.
Yeah, he's like a real tough guy, a real hard-ass man. He's drinking Budweiser. He's probably wearing like a Marilyn Manson shirt with no sleeves.
Yeah, like the toughest shirt.
Mm-hmm.
What day, do you know what day this story broke?
Because
I was kind of, I've been kind of away from the internet for the last couple days. I think I saw this like this morning or something.
I think maybe on Wednesday.
Wednesday?
Was the first day.
I'm going to go ahead and say it was on Tuesday because I was in Stockton on Tuesday. And I think this story might be about me.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm a manly dude and I'm stunningly handsome and I carry a loaded gun everywhere I go. And I also commit street terrorism on occasion. So, I think this story is about me.
Yeah, now that I'm looking at the picture more closely, it is definitely you.
Yeah.
Before, it looked different before, but it is you.
Well, I'm glad we put this together because that's very flattering. I didn't really like figure it out until just now.
Yeah. Well, good work. Everybody's in love with you.
Ah, well, I mean, I already knew, but it's nice to have a little confirmation.
Well, let's confirm this next story.
Let's do it. Let's treat ourselves to another lightning round story.
I'm glad that you called back to that because it's still my crowning achievement in life.
I was very proud of you.
I appreciate that.
I'm a little bummed that I know what you do for a living now, but it was all worth it with that treat yourself to lunch headline.
Well, at least I let you in on the on what I do gently with that pun.
Yeah. You eased into it like Michael Jackson easing into Corey Feldman's butthole.
I treased into it.
I don't know about that.
Oh. Well, the UN, the United Nations, has warned Britain over child voodoo rituals, pedophile sex tourists. Hundreds of children are being kidnapped in Africa and brought to the UK for voodoo rituals, the UN says. And they're warning people about the number of British pedophiles who prey on children abroad. What do you think about this? Do you think that the British are horrible for doing voodoo sex to little kids?
No, I think the British are horrible for lots of other reasons, as I'm sure you do too.
I do.
I mean, this is just another couple things to add to the list.
Yeah, this actually seems kind of quaint compared to like what they're usually into, which is like, you know, enslaving the entire world and banning Evil Dead.
Yeah, those are the top two.
Yeah,
Evil Dead is number one, and enslaving the world is number two. And then like pedophilia and Satanism—that's like 265 on the list for me, at least. I don't know.
Yeah, the young ones is up there on like their list of crimes and stuff. But in that context, I guess this isn't really all that bad. I was like kind of really upset about it at first that these British are like doing all the, you know, it's like, it's one thing to do some like child sex trafficking. Like that's like pretty horrible. But when you're adding voodoo to it, it's like, man, come on.
Yeah. Are you sure it didn't say doo-doo rituals?
Oh, no. Here it says, much like before with the mugshot, I wasn't looking at it properly. It does say doo-doo rituals.
Doo-doo rituals. That's what I thought.
Yeah, they're doing doo-doo stuff with these kids.
Man, we're really, is it every time I come on your show, do we end up talking about pedophilia for like 75% of the show?
I feel like
that's about where we're at.
All right, you're, probably, we don't want to get pigeonholed here.
I guess that's my fault.
That's probably your fault. Let's move on to the next story then. Hopefully it's not about pedophiles, but it might be.
Ah, fuck.
I think it has an autoplay video. Hopefully it doesn't play and ruin our whole show. But this is news. Happy news.
My son came home.
Shut up,
and
lady.
He said to-
this is out of my own hometown of Dayton, Ohio. A young kid was out playing, adventuring, and he rolled into an abandoned house, as sometimes we all do when we're adventuring. And he found the remains of a mummified corpse who was hanging by a noose in the house. Which instantly led to a Stephen King novel that is out next week, I'm sure. Did you hear about this? It was all over my Facebook, but it might just be because I'm from Dayton.
Yeah, that's probably because you're from Dayton. I didn't hear anything about this.
That's too bad.
I like the story though. It's a cool visual. I don't know. It's cool that stuff like that happens in real life and not just in horror movies.
Yeah, it would make for a sweet album cover.
Yeah, sure. How old was the kid who discovered the hung corpse?
Let me read on. They might not say because...
Oh, because he's a minor?
Yeah.
Do you think the corpse raped him afterwards?
Possibly.
God, I hope so.
If he was wearing, like, one of those leather jackets and one sequined glove and a fedora at the time, then I'm sure the corpse did.
Come on, dude. Are you saying he was asking for it? Because that's not cool.
Oh, man. Yeah, you're right. Sorry.
Fuck, man.
Well, you know.
What's the scariest thing that happened to you when you were a kid? Can you think of, like, one instance of something super freaky that scared you? Like, did you ever find a corpse in an abandoned house?
No, but I found an intact, like, skeleton or, like, a skeleton of a deer, you know? And that was pretty scary. It was, like, in my friend's backyard, which is, like, super scary because it's, like, you would think that, somebody would have found and disposed of it if it was in, like, your backyard.
Uh-huh.
Like, before it turned into a skeleton, or maybe somebody just placed the skeleton there.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it would probably take a long time to, like... rot down to the skeleton. It was probably either there for a really long time, or somebody was like doing a satanic pedophilia doo-doo ritual with it and like brought it there.
That could be, but it was like completely intact, so you would have to like immaculately like Sam Neill in Jurassic Park reconstruct the skeleton.
Yeah, or just drop a deer into like a vat of acid like Jeffrey Dahmer and then just pull it out.
That's true. You're thinking that whoever killed the deer gave it a lobotomy to turn it into a sex slave.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what Jeffrey Dahmer was into, which is really weird.
It's, I don't know, ghoulish?
Oh, I would say that that's an accurate adjective.
It is pretty ghoulish.
But yeah, I don't know if I found any other scary stuff like that. What about you? Did you find any scary stuff? Probably a big feetsman, right?
I never ran into a big feetsman, although there are tons of big feetsmen up there. Like my mom lives in the town of Willow Creek that new shitty Bobcat Goldthwait movie is about.
Mm-hmm.
So it is Bigfoot Central. I don't know if I ever found anything creepy in the woods. I definitely like found Playboy magazines in the woods, which I think every American like preteen had that experience. Mm-hmm. Did you ever find a Playboy magazine in the woods?
No, I found like hardcore porn a few times, but not Playboys.
Nice. Well, I only found Playboys, but never saw a big feetsman. I did get hassled by bears in the wild a couple times, which was fucking really scary. There were lots of bears where I grew up, and sometimes I'd just be out in the woods, and then there's like, you know, a bear right there, and that scared the shit out of me. It wasn't particularly ghoulish, but that's like, it sticks out as something really scary that happened to me when I was a kid.
Yeah, that's horrifying.
Yeah. Bears are usually... more scared of people than we are of them, unless it's like a mama bear with her cubs, then she'll fuck you up. But that luckily that never happened to me.
Yeah. I was super scared one time. I went to Santa Cruz and like there like I was like on the beach, you know, and like there's like all those like fucking like stupid sea lions like just chilling. And there's like a park ranger there, I guess, to just to make sure that nobody like touched the sea lions.
Yeah.
And she was like telling everybody about how like the sea lions like to stay on the beach because if you like walked waist deep into the water, there's probably going to be great white sharks out there just waiting for the seals because they know they're there. And that's the scariest shit in the goddamn world to me.
Yeah, I don't fuck with no sharks, man.
Man, sharks are too scary. Like, in the fact that they're just like waiting for you to go into the water.
Yeah, just waiting for some dumb tourist.
Mm-hmm.
To wade out in his fucking Hawaiian shirt.
California's too scary, man.
Yeah, California. You know that the most active breeding grounds for great white sharks in the world is like 30 miles off the coast of San Francisco.
Dude, that's too scary.
The Farallones Islands. There's shit tons of giant great white sharks like right off the coast of San Francisco. You can go on tours out there if you have a bunch of money, but yeah, fuck that. Sharks are scary.
Yeah, dude. And they can eat your boat. I've seen Jaws. I'm not doing that.
Yeah, they can eat an entire boat. Like any great white shark can eat a whole boat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's what Hollywood taught me. Yeah, that's too scary. This whole place is scary. It's like you go to the fucking mountains and you might see like a bear or like a fucking, you like go to like the mountainy desert part and like there's fucking mountain lions and like
fucking
you go to,
giant spiders and shit.
Dude, this, don't even get me started on these fucking spiders. These goddamn pieces of crap fucking creeps. And then there's all these stories in my newspaper about how like because there's no water, like all the tarantulas and like bats with rabies and rattlesnakes are coming down from the mountains and like just hanging out in the valley. And it's goddamn scary. I'm scared all the time.
Oh man. You know what? In the last week and a half, I've encountered a rattlesnake and a shitload of bats out in the woods.
Man, what do you do when you encounter a rattlesnake? I feel like if I was walking around and I encountered a rattlesnake, I would just let it bite me because I would be so scared I wouldn't even want to continue on with
it. Fuck that. You need to drink more Budweiser. What you do when you see a rattlesnake in the wild? This is what I did. You grab that fucker and you bite it. You beat it to the punch. You bite the rattlesnake first so he knows who's boss. And you bite it in the middle like you're eating a ghoulish burrito.
You just hold the tail with one hand and hold the head with the other and just bite it right in the middle?
Bite it right in the middle. After you do that, the rattlesnake will look at you and be like, holy shit, this guy's a fucking badass. Look at his beard. I got to get out of here.
This guy's the real fucking deal.
Real fucking deal.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, that's what I recommend. If you encounter a rattlesnake in the wild, just bite it first so it knows who's boss.
I think I'll do that.
Yeah. Yeah, there were that lake house I stayed at for the last couple of days, though, there was shitloads of bats because they were all out hunting for like bugs on the lake every night when the sun was going down. That was pretty cool. I actually like bats. They're not anything to be afraid of.
Yeah.
Except for the blood sucking ones that turn into vampires.
Yeah, those are the worst kind. I think those are like more south, though.
Yeah.
like more towards Mexico, if I remember from Dusk Till Dawn properly.
Yeah.
But yeah, bats are like kind of cool. Like they're kind of cute and they fly around in like a weird sort of pattern. They're all right.
Yeah, they're kind of squirrely and they make little squeaky noises.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
It's kind of cute actually. Although I went to a zoo either in Portland or Seattle. I don't remember which one. And they have an exhibit there that's like a big cave that you walk into. And there's these huge fucking bats that are like the size of dogs. They're the size of like, I don't know, bigger than a chihuahua, but with big leathery wings. And they're all just hanging upside down looking at you. And those bats are kind of freaky once they get to be that size.
Yeah, yeah. I've seen like, yeah, some of those like Polynesian bats that are like, yeah, like 4 feet long.
Yeah.
That's fucked.
Yeah, that shit's fucked up. The little tiny cute bats, like that would be cool to have one as like a pet, you know, but like the big dog bats, that's some shit I don't want to fuck with.
Yeah, that's true. Like seeing stuff like that, like seeing like those huge dog bats and like, you know, I don't know, all kinds of shit like that. It's like, it makes you understand why, like, humans 10,000 years ago came up with stories about vampires and Frankensteins and shit, because it's like, and like devils and stuff, because it's like, man, you just gotta, like, find some way to rationalize in your brain why a bat would exist that's the size of a dog and have, like, these fucking leathery see-through wings and, like, a face.
Either or when you saw something that terrifying, you could just be like, and it was so horrifying, there were no words to describe it. Yeah, if only like the Cro-Magnons and shit doing the cave paintings, like they would have just ended their stories like that. We wouldn't have dragons and Frankensteins and shit.
Yeah, well, I went to those caves that are like in Death Valley, and they have a lot of cave paintings of those dog-shaped bats, and it's just question marks.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
You can't describe them, you know?
The horror of nature. That's some fucking Werner Herzog shit.
Yeah, I went to that cave. It's in that cave. It's like extra scenes, deleted scenes in that movie. It's just question marks all over that cave.
Yeah. That DVD also had the buddy bloopers on it, right?
Yeah, yeah. They had like Neanderthal babies like just falling over each other while wearing spaceman suits.
Right. With DVD commentary by Down Syndrome Hulk Hogan from Coach.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. That's a good DVD. That's an intelligent DVD.
Yeah, it's a collector's item.
Yeah.
Only for the most discerning people who want to watch retarded Hulk Hogan and Neanderthals falling over.
Yep. Count me as amongst those people.
Mm-hmm. A real cinephile.
Yep.
Here's another story. A boy fakes a kidnapping to avoid going to the dentist. This is oddly enough, a French boy. Weird that a French person would avoid hygiene.
That's, you can just say a French.
A French.
It's weird that a French would avoid hygiene.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I get what you're saying.
What do you think about that? As a kid, how did you feel about the dentist? And would you stage a fake kidnapping to avoid going to the dentist?
Well, Yeah, I definitely wish I would have come up with something this ingenious to get out of going to the dentist. Like, remember how I was saying earlier when you got to go to Toys R Us as a kid and it was like Christmas morning, it was like the best thing that could happen to you? Mm-hmm. I feel like going to the dentist was the exact polar opposite of that experience. Like, I felt I was being led into a room where someone was just going to put a bullet in the back of my head. The dentist scared the fucking shit out of me, and I wish I would have thought of faking my own kidnapping to get out of some of those visits.
Yeah, you probably should have. You know, now that you have the idea implanted into you, like Inception, you can time travel like in Inception and go back and do that.
Okay, I'll go ahead and do that.
I think you should. Yeah, I hated the dentist as a kid, and I like put up a fight so much so that my dentist banned me from going back to him because, like,
fuck yeah,
I would act like a fucking prick whenever I went in there.
Yeah, so you had your own plan for getting out of going to the dentist. You just acted like a dickhead until they were like, "Don't bring this guy back anymore."
Yeah, yeah. So that worked for me.
Yeah, good job.
Thanks. I actually love the dentist now, though.
Really?
Yeah, I love.
How often do you go to the dentist?
Like every 8 months or something.
Really? You want to hear a fucking something fucked up?
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been to the dentist in probably 15 years.
That's the alarm, but I do I do want to hear the rest of your story.
That's about it. It's just that I haven't been to the dentist in 15 years. It traumatized me so bad as a kid. I haven't gone since I was a kid. Yeah. And I haven't had any problems. I haven't had any cavities and my teeth are okay and everything. You know, I brush and floss and blah, blah, blah. But like, I just stopped going to the dentist. Once I was an adult and didn't have to go anymore, I just stopped.
Yeah. That's like
the dentist is still fucking terrifies me.
That's understandable. That's like the main cool part about being an adult is like deciding whether or not you should go to the dentist or the doctor.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think. But yeah, like I was the same way. I didn't go to the dentist from like age 13 to age like 29 or something. And then I like just decided to go, you know, like just why not, you know, just in case, because I don't want to lose my fucking teeth. Uh-huh. And I discovered that it's like so pleasurable and like it makes you feel really good about yourself afterwards. And I talked about this a super long time ago on the show, but I'm kind of, who is it? Bill Murray in Little Shop of Horrors or whoever, uh-huh. Like where like they're like cutting into your teeth and stuff. And it's like,
you're Steve Martin
was Steve Martin. Steve Martin was,
he was the dentist.
He was the dentist. And then
you're talking about the guy that went to the dentist.
The guy who went to the dentist who was like really into it and like,
oh yeah, yeah, yeah. He was like a masochist and shit.
Yeah, like that's kind of how I am. Like if they like really lace into me, I feel really good about myself and feel like I have really clean teeth.
Uh-huh.
And I really enjoy it.
Huh. Do you think I should go check it out and see if my feelings have changed on it? Or do you think that's like just you being a weirdo?
It could just be me being a weirdo. But I mean, it also like leaves you with like a really fresh, like, you know, like. Like after you brush your teeth for like a really long time and floss and like do like some scope, like you feel really good about yourself, right? Like you feel like you got the cleanest teeth that you could just lick all day. Like, do you have that? Or is it like just utilitarian?
For me, it's just utilitarian. You know what? I'm not going to go to the dentist. I think we have a different outlook on this.
Yeah. We might have different teeth dispositions. Yeah.
Yeah. If I want to feel fresh and clean, usually I'll just put on some deodorant and like that's enough for me.
Yeah. That's understandable. Yeah. Maybe the dentist isn't for you then. I say stay away.
Yeah, I think I'm going to. Or maybe, you know, maybe I should face my fears like you did Space Mountain?
Yeah, yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, Space Mountain was super scary.
I don't know. I'm going to have to think about this.
Yeah. It could be like that because, you know, I always thought Space Mountain was scary, but then I wrote it as an adult and it's like some real kind of kid stuff.
Yeah. Maybe I should take some acid and watch a Beelzebub movie and ponder my options.
You should take some acid and go to the dentist. I think that would be good.
Yeah, now you're talking.
Yeah, I think that would be
pretty
good.
Maybe next school summer, after I'm over the trauma of watching Ant Farm Dickhole, I could face my next fear.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what we should all do next school summer. If you haven't been to the dentist for a while, we'll take a bunch of drugs and we'll just go to the dentist and let them like do all kinds of weird shit to our teeth.
Well, yeah, we'll take acid and then take like a party bus to the dentist and make a big celebration out of it.
I think that would be good. And speaking of school summer, it is kind of ghoulish. I had to get my wisdom teeth out. Because they were like kind of broken and stuff. So he couldn't like just pull them out real quick because like they were kind of like fucked up. And like you can like definitely hear your skull like cracking from the inside of your head, which is
that's pretty metal.
It's pretty metal. It's pretty ghoulish. Like it's Like, I mean, hearing stuff from the outside of your head is like pretty normal, but to hear your own skull cracking from the inside of your head is pretty frightful.
Yeah, that's only, I wouldn't recommend that to anyone but like a real ass man.
Yeah, like Memphis Maniac should do that.
Yeah.
And that sexy villain prison guy, maybe he's not a villain, I guess.
From Stockton?
Yeah, that guy. Right.
Razor Man Frizzman.
Yeah, of course Frizzman.
Ever since he finished the Saw movies, I think he could deal with something like that.
Yeah, he can deal with anything now.
Yeah, and there was that time he like chopped his foot in half with an axe and was like totally chill about it.
Yeah, dude, he's a pretty tough guy.
He's a fucking tough ass dude.
Mm-hmm.
And people I would say shouldn't try it. Corey from Illogical Contraption Radio, Sawyer from Kissing Contest. These are some false ass men that wouldn't be able to deal with cracking sounds inside their own skull.
Well, they're pleasant. They're pleasant fellows, I feel.
They're pleasant fellows, but they're not hard ass men.
Yeah.
By any stretch.
Well, the alarm did go off a few minutes ago. And yep. I very much want to play video games, so I would like to thank you for being on the show.
Thank you for having me. It's always, you know, keep up the good work.
I appreciate that compliment, sort of.
Thanks for having me on, failure.
Well, no problem. You do a podcast called Illogical Contraption. It's at a website. What is the website?
I don't even know. You can find all of our episodes archived at radiovalencia.fm/illogicalcontraption. And we're on iTunes and we're on Stitcher and, yeah, I don't know. That's about it, I guess. Oh, we're on Facebook. Oh, we have a Tumblr, illogicalcontraption.tumblr.com. You can go all those places and fucking figure it out.
Sweet. We are also on all those places, Pool Party Radio. Like us on Facebook.
You're on Radio Valencia too?
Yeah, we are. We're on Tuesdays at like 8 o'clock.
Okay, right on. 8 a.m.?
Yep, 8 a.m.
Yeah, it's Conan Neutron's show. You deceived me.
It was all a trick. This was all a trick.
You're not on Radio Valencia at all.
The truth is, this isn't even really a podcast.
Oh, fuck.
We've just been chatting.
Deceived again. You've just been pumping me for new material for the last hour.
Yeah.
Just more jokes that you can steal for your next show.
Mm-hmm.
You fucking bastard.
Stay tuned to the next pool party when I talk about the time that I found a bear when I was a young man.
That story sucks.
Facebook.com/poolpartyradio. Like us. Be our friends on Facebook. Our personal friends, Parker and Frisbee. Find us. We'll be your friend. Leave us reviews on iTunes. You know, fuck style reviews and stuff like that. Tell.
Oh, we forgot to talk about fuck styles. Next time.
Next time, we'll talk about fuck styles.
Yeah.
And I don't know, all that kind of stuff. So Frisbee will be back next week. Katie Routz will be here again, possibly a special guest who's never been on the show. And we'll be talking about wrestling and reviewing the new wrestling pay-per-view. So if you're not into that, there's two words for you. That's also a wrestling reference that you won't get if you don't like wrestling. So it's kind of a moot point.
Totally lost on me.
But in the meantime, thanks for having fun.